Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Get Real with Rick Dancer. And I am in a good mood this morning. You know why? Because it is Thursday, the 7th of March, and we have got a bunch of Oregonians standing up for their right to do what they do and standing against tyranny and against stupid regulations and against people who are pushing one agenda and not listening to the people. So right now there's a convoy to the ODFNW meeting that is supposed to sign. And if I'm saying something incorrect, my experts that are coming on will change that for me. They'll fix it for us. We're all about correction here. We're about getting our facts straight. We don't just spread bullshit. So anyway, they're going to sign into law this habitat conservation plan. All sounds good when you hear habitat conservation plan, but when you find out that the habitat it's not saving is the one that belongs to human beings who live in rural Oregon and depend on logging for their business. Apparently our government doesn't really care. The only habitat it cares about is for wildlife and doesn't give a shit about human beings. So our sponsors tonight are Albert Taylor, Endless Possibilities. They work with people with different abilities, always looking for people to help staff. That's what they need. And if you're looking for a way to change your life, they're the people to do it. And Dr. Michael Bratland, a dentist in Eugene, who is a radical. He puts up billboards supporting Back the Blue. He loves loggers. He loves Oregon industry. He just loves freedom. He thinks that people should be able to say what they want to say, and he backs it up with his dollars. Also, another freedom guy, Craig Hinkle here in Helena, Montana with Fairway Independent Mortgage Company. He's a troublemaker. He belongs with us. He's one of us. If you're looking for a mortgage, you're in Oregon, Washington, or Idaho, or Montana, he is the man and can help you. Also, Montana Oral Surgeons and Dental Implant Center, one of our Helena customers. They have places in Bozeman. There's a lot of B's in Montana. Bozeman, Butte, Great Falls, and Helena. And they are wonderful people, and they support what we do. Bradley Rains, Heating and Air Conditioning in Creswell, Oregon. He's one of my great customers who called me up and said, I want you to help me, but really, I just want to support you being obnoxious. What more can you ask for? And our last one, New Leaf Hyperbarics and Wellness Center, Matt McCarl over at New Leaf. They do hyperbaric treatments. If you've never done it, it's awesome. Light therapy, and they also do massage. Matt is a great guy, also a freedom-seeking American. So those are our sponsors. Jeff, I think your video has got, there he's, there's my man. Okay, so we've got Jen Hammaker with Henri, and these are three of the Henriest people you're ever going to meet, and that includes me. And I'm not an Henri member, but I support what Henri does. I'm going to put the Henriest members up there. Jeff, you need to turn on your microphone too. Your mic, it's telling me your mic's off. There he is. Jeff, how you doing, man?
Doing good.
That's Mr. Levy. I said it right, right?
Yep.
Okay. And Jen, they're both with Henri. And we have got, there is, by the time this airs, we're not telling people because we didn't want people to know what was going on. But there are Facebook pages, and I am reading stuff that is just charging me up like you would not even believe. There's a Facebook page, loggers, people in the industry, people in rural Oregon crying out because there is some rules that are going to pass, probably. We've gone to the governor and begged for her to pay attention. She doesn't even bother to come to the meeting, but sends her underling who just tells us, oh, there's nothing you can do here. And so we've got a governor who's not listening to people. You've got rural Oregonians who already three mills in Oregon, one in Springfield, one in Banks. And where's the third one?
Philomath.
In Philomath, all have shut down. There's places loggers are selling off their equipment already because they know they can't continue to do this under these rules that are going to go into effect. And it's going to, I'll tell you what, people in Oregon and Washington, and well, this one's just for Oregon right now, I think, right?
Yes.
So people in Oregon, what's going to happen? You can say, well, you know, yeah, it doesn't affect me. It will impact you because people, when people lose their jobs, then they stop doing other things too, like going to restaurants, like going into town, like buying your products. There's all kinds of stuff that goes away. So you will be impacted by this. So Jen and Jeff, why don't you guys just take it from there? Tell us what, Jen, let me start with you. Tell me what the ACP, the Habitat Conservation Plan, or hell come for people in Oregon is the real name of this plan. But what is this going to do? What's going to happen today? What is expected to happen today in Salem?
Well, this came real fast. A meeting in a co-tech Thursday, Jeff and I did, and she didn't show. Jeff Huntington showed, and she and Jeff Huntington is Tina Kotek's natural resource advisor, and he basically told us that they were to support the HCP. So we left that meeting and went back to our board of ornery and told them what happened. We were very deflated. We were in tears because this Habitat Conservation Plan is a 70-year forest policy that will shut down 57% of our state forests and allow those fuels to grow for 70 years. So to us, a habitat conservation plan doesn't protect animals, it burns them. So it perpetuates the same results. These animal populations keep going down, forest fires keep going up, and the federal government and the environmental groups get to keep themselves working while they're putting us out of jobs.
You know, I want to say something to people real fast too. Like when the fires burned a few years ago and on Labor Day, you know, the part of these plans were made to protect the spotted owl. So nobody went in thinned, nobody went in and cleaned up the brush. They made it just ready for a fire. And then what happened was there was a fire. So guess what? Man getting involved in creating this plan to protect the spotted owl actually destroyed the spotted owl habitat.
Yes.
So you don't know what you're doing. They don't have an idea of what's going on. So they're putting at risk. They're not listening to the loggers. They're not listening to the people in the industry. And they're putting everybody at risk because they're not taking care of the land. And so this is going to cause more of that. So we keep talking about we want to reduce forest fires. Bullshit, Tina Kotek. You don't want to reduce forest fires. You're causing more forest fires.
Yes. So also, not only is she causing more forest fires by supporting this HCP, she spent $500 million, $500 million last year towards affordable housing. She also just spent this month $369 million. That's almost $1 billion if you combine those two towards affordable housing. And at the same time, she's shutting down the most prime timber in the world.
And here's what people need to remember too, is so if you're going to build a house, you got to get timber. So this is like what Biden's doing with energy. So we're buying energy from other people because we won't produce it here. When what's going to happen, if you're truly carbon sensitive, then get your head out of your ass, because here's what you need to understand. You're now going to have to go to New Zealand or Canada or one of China or these other countries to get your logs, to build, to get your 2x4s. You're going to ship them, which puts carbon in the atmosphere, just like Mr. Gore's airplane. So you're going to have more transportation costs when you could be making it right here in Oregon, which would be the sustainable thing to do. And the third thing I will point out is trees are a crop. They're a 40-year crop. So it's kind of like corn. You cut down the corn and then next year you grow more corn. And that's how timber works too. So we are cutting off our feet and putting our economy at risk. And we're not doing the sustainable climate. If, for those of you who believe so much in climate change, this is the way you stop the carbon.
So also that needs to be pointed out, I know these are facts and figures which get boring, but Oregon sequesters or locks up, absorbs 49 million metric tons of carbon each year. And our state emits 36 million metric tons. So we're green. We're green before green was a thing. We've always, right. we, the only time that we're not green, Rick, is when we burn.
Right. When we have to live under the regulations. Jeff, you have been so calm and cool and collected. Jen and I are used to like vomiting on podcasts and stuff like this. you're a guy who works in the woods. You helped start Timber Unity as a way to get the message out. And then you guys kind of formed Henri because you're more Henri than anybody else. And, but your goal is still the same. What you stayed home today, you weren't feeling well, but you're out there in the woods doing this all the time.
Yeah. Well, we've had plenty of snow up here the last couple of days. I was the only one that went in Monday. I probably should have turned around and went home, but, it's just because I love what we do. People that don't work in the woods don't understand what goes on in the woods. Loggers are the first ones in and the last ones out. So you get a catastrophic wildfire started, let's say seven years down the road after this HCP has started, and ODF calls for assets from local loggers. Well, y'all really shit on us. So local loggers are going to say, well, you know, we're really fresh out of favors. Fight it yourself. And that's what's going to happen. But I'm telling you.
What does this say? Because, you know, you and I were talking online just back and forth, and this is it's, you know, if I could just be really honest, it's been very upsetting to you. I mean, this is devastating for you, as this is your livelihood. This is your life.
It's not only my life. It's so many people's livelihoods, plus communities, schools, recreational centers, pools. I mean, the list just goes on. Communities, you know, counties, they all get a tax revenue or a timber harvest benefit from this harvest. If people don't really understand how bad this is going to be, go look at the spotted owl in federal forests and what that did to what the HCP they put on all forest timberlands. It's asinine. And every logger and every people I talk to, from state reps to state senators to county commissioners to the land trust board to loggers to school districts, it's no different than what Jen, we've worked so hard to fight this. But it is going to kill communities. And if people understood what went on with the spotted owl in the Cascades, and look at all those communities devastated by it, by the mill closing and the industry closing down.
But here's the sidebar that's so interesting to me is when I was a news guy, we covered the spotted owl to death.
Yeah.
And then it was learned it really wasn't the spotted owl that was being threatened by the timber and by the loggers. It was being threatened by an owl called the Bart owl. Well, now, Jen, you correct me or say this the right way, but now they're actually, because I was at this meeting where the chief of the Forest Service is there, and people are asking him, now there's a plan, you're going to go out and start killing the Bart owl to protect the spotted owl. So what the fuck?
Yeah.
So the spotted owl has two main threats, and it's the barred owl, just like you said, and forest fire. It's not because of lack of habitat. We've set millions and millions and millions of acres aside for the spotted owl, and the populations keep declining. And then there's the marbled murrelet. The marbled murrelet, if you go on Alaska's Fish and Wildlife website, it literally says the marbled murrelet is Alaska's most abundant seabird. They're so abundant that they're moving down the coast, but because they're hard to study, they've landed in Oregon and they're like, oh, there's not that many here, so we're going to list that as an endangered species and try to protect it and close down hundreds of thousands of millions of acres for the marbled murrelet. The list goes on and on.
Isn't it true that the marbled murrelet, it goes out like hundreds of miles to sea, and then comes in just to nest a little bit and then goes back out. And they're really hard to see and really hard to find. So, I mean, you know, and I'm not questioning the intelligence of, well, I guess I am.
So that's what they're using, though. You have to understand the environmental groups are like a razor blade. They're super focused. They're going to find whatever species they can that might be extremely hard to study, or whatever the criteria is to so they can't study it, so that it is, they can say, oh, well, there's not that many here, so we have to put these as a listed species. Yes, you're right. The marbled murrelet is a 60-mile-an-hour flying bird. It lives out in the ocean. It comes on land for 6 weeks out of the year and lays their eggs until the fledglings can fly. Then they get pushed out of the nest, never to return to that nest ever again.
So, she's correct.
So So, you know, I mean, people need to get a handle on this because the environmental community, and I think we're all conservationists, but the environmental community has, I have a podcast next week that's airing because of salmon in the Northwest. I'm talking to a Montana folks, but it's going to affect Oregon too. They're talking about breaching four dams on the Snake River in Washington State, which will reduce and increase our, we'll have chances of more blackouts and brownouts like California. And it's going to increase costs 50%.
Yes.
And so, and it's all because of the tribal influence, the politicians and the environmentalists working this stuff. I mean, Americans need to wake up to what this is and really understand what's going on. I mean,
let's go to the real issue with the salmon on the Columbia.
Yep.
It's not the dams. It's not the tribes. It's not the sport fishermen. It's the damn sea lions. And I'm telling you that the sea lions do not belong in tributaries. They were never there before. They started coming up here because of the plentiful amount of salmon coming up river, right? Mm-hmm. And this isn't just on the Columbia. These sons of bitches are up the fucking Clackamas River.
Wow.
That's way upriver on the tributaries.
Because there's too many of them and they're having fun.
They feast. So hold on, Jen.
I talked to you that 90% of the salmon are getting up over the ladders.
Okay, so let's look at the smelt run on the Cowlitz River. Okay. We only get one day a year to smelt dip. When the smelt started coming upriver, I've got a video of over 1,000 sea lions there in Rainier. Now, every day I cross that Kelso Bridge going over the Cowlitz, and there's over 100 in that river system just in that specific location. You know what they're feeding on? Smelt.
So let's go back to what's going on today. But I think all that's relative, and people need to wake up and understand this. But so today he's going to who's going to sign what, Jen?
So Cal Mukamoto, who is our state forester, is going to read his recommendation to support the HCP. Like I told you, we met with Tina Kotek early. Well, we were supposed to.
Yeah, she didn't show.
And she's writing in to the Board of Forestry in support of the HCP. Cal Mukamoto, state forester, also recommending the HCP. And Board of Forestry is going to hear him, and then they're going to take a vote on whether to reject or approve the HCP. What we're asking for them to do is stop this HCP, pivot, and start another HCP if necessary. But we don't want an HCP at all. But if they do decide to go with an HCP because they feel like it's something that they absolutely have to pursue, this one is not a good one. This one puts over 100,000 acres more conservation than what's required to be approved for the HCP. So an HCP partners with federal agencies, NOAA and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife. And so they have to approve an HCP, and that's where you get your incidental take permits. So it protects the applicant, in this case ODF, from getting sued by environmentalists since they've held our state hostage. But this specific HCP is not what we thought it was going to be. It is not good for Oregon. It is 100,000 acres more than what is required. It's almost 100,000 acres lower than what they promised when they first started the HCP. This is going to just devastate rural Oregon, our communities, take away jobs, and it's going to have a ripple effect. We've already seen three mills close down. And when you lose mills in specific areas, nobody's going to mill that wood because the juice isn't worth the squeeze in trucking it from point A to point B. You look over at Paradise over in California, they went out in there and they cleaned up all the land from that huge fire that killed people and devastated that entire community. And what sits there is hundreds, if not thousands, of logs stacked up in piles all over the place because no mill will go clear in to go get that fiber and bring it back out because it's too expensive to haul it. So that's what if they close down this state timberland and those mills close down, which we're already seeing, there's nobody going to be able to want to mill that wood. It's going to cost too much to truck it over, or it's going to increase housing costs and lumber costs.
And 13 counties will be impacted heavily by this, right?
15.
15. So that means for you people who live in those counties, that means your county board of commissioners is going to lose money. So that means health and human services. That means drug treatment. That means all your services provided by the county are going to need more money because they're not going to have it. Your schools. So your schools that are already, Oregon has a shitty report card, Tina Kotek. You should be ashamed to be the governor of it with a poor report card like that. You're doing this and you're going to lose more money in your education. But of course, you don't have to worry because the Oregon Education Association runs the state anyway. So they'll just go in and get more money from the governor.
It gets better. They're going to raise everybody's general taxes. And even the people that want this don't realize it. So your income tax is going to go up, plus your property tax is going to go up. And if you happen to live in areas where this HCP is in rural Oregon, you're not going to be able to get wildfire insurance on that because the cost is going to be too high because it's such a high risk to have unmanaged forests.
So Jeff, what are you guys doing with today with the rally and the truckers? Tell people kind of what you're doing. You've got a convoy coming.
Bring a load of log trucks with ODF timber. We're going to surround that. We're just going to park it. We're going to park them with signs on there. Make sure that the board has to walk to get to this meeting so they can't park in their parking lot. I don't think Salem has enough tow trucks to tow all the loaded log trucks out, plus Crummies and all of us. So I hate to be an ass, but actually I don't, because the gloves are off. When Cal Mokomoda made his recommendation Friday and Jen and I had the conversation with the governor's office, I was not happy. Well, actually, I was really pissed off.
So who's on the board of forestry? Is that who people go to? I mean, who are these? Are these experts about forestry, or what are they? They're just political appointees that know nothing more than me.
They were put in place by Governor Kate Brown.
Oh.
So now you get it.
So she appoints people that are going to be supportive of what she wants to do in the forest. She proposes this HCP, right?
No. Former Governor Kate Brown appointed every single board member on that board.
Right. And then, but she was also supportive of the HCP because this is went under her watch, because this has already been decided. I mean, back then. So then this group of people, then you got Tina Kotek, the new governor, who comes in, and it's right up her environmental alley. So she's on there. So where, I guess my question is, you know, and I'm sure yours too, and what people, every person in this audience should be asking is, where's your voice?
Yeah.
I mean, it's your frickin' state, and you're allowing an appointed board by a biased governor who wants to shut down logging to make decisions like this. And now you've got a new governor who shares those values, if you can call them that. And in the end, how do people like justify putting communities? I was just in Santa Am, and then I was in Lyons, and these cool little towns with these people. And I was driving through knowing this was coming. And what people don't understand is, you know, we just went to the logging conference, and the equipment and stuff that they're using is so environmentally friendly, it's not even funny. Yeah. And they're doing things. Loggers have changed their procedures, so you're not dragging logs across creek beds. You're not dragging. So if you guys that think that logging is so bad actually went out and spent a day with a logger like I have and people, you might see a different story. And I think it's really sad when people just, it's okay to shut up a whole segment of the population, because it will come back to haunt the state of Oregon. I mean, it's not, you will pay for this either in higher taxes or whatever. Yep. But at this point, is there logically any way to stop it?
No.
Last stand.
Yeah, this is our last stand. We're going to go down swinging.
What would you say, Jeff, and yes, like I'm the best example of being nice. But if you were cordially invited to the governor's or to speak before the land board and you were on your best behavior.
Yeah. Well, God help me.
What would you articulate to them on a personal level for you?
To the state land board. I would tell them exactly what this ACP is going to do with rural communities, farmers, because everybody's involved in this decrease.
How does it, can you tell me? I mean, I know the timber industry is a farm too, but how does it affect the farming and ranching communities?
Well, they get a little percentage. Their clean water that they like to pull from the rivers. Well, ODF has the cleanest water out of any timber, period, because of what we do in the woods. There's no sediment. There's no toxins. ODF doesn't spray. So all these environmentalists that say, well, we want to save our drinking water, and it has nothing to do with that, because your drinking water is crystal clear on ODF land. They don't spray. They don't spray nothing. I would tell them, I said that, you know, you're going to sacrifice communities. That's the biggest thing. You're going to sacrifice everything that we fought for and the exact timber that you think you want to protect is not going to protect a damn thing when it burns. Nothing. Once it burns, once we get a fire, a lot of you older generation remembers the Tillamook burn here in Oregon. Let's say 7 years down the road with this ODF habitat conservation is really when you're going to see the effects of it. So once you get a fire started here, and let's say late July, August, you ain't getting it out.
Right.
No way. There's not enough assets to even think about getting it out. Tillamook burn was catastrophic. And if you think that was big, you wait till a fire gets started here under this new ACP. You ain't going to stop it.
Because we have more trees now than we did before.
We have what?
We have more trees now than we did before. So you let those accumulation of fuels keep on growing every year and dry out and accumulate and dry out. It's as soon as spark hits it, it's going to be gone. Jay Browning was telling me last
He's
night.
He's a logger from the – he was on the logging the show that was on television. He's a great guy.
The Axeman or what?
Axeman. Yeah.
So Jay Browning was telling me that his son was out there in the woods on ODF land, and there was a off in the distance, there was a fire that started, and it started fast. And all of a sudden it was 5 acres and then it was 20 acres. And something that I forget to explain to people is that every logger out there is fire certified. They have to be. So they are frontline firefighters. So Jesse called his dad and said, hey, dad, bring the fire trucks over here right now, water trucks over here right now. We got to put out a fire. It's growing fast. And it was heading up towards 120-year-old trees, an entire, 1,000 acres of 120-year-old trees. And so they did. They brought in 3 times as much water as what is required, but that's how they roll. And they got that thing out before the local fire departments or ODF could even show up on scene.
So if you think about people like Jeff and those folks who are not out there because they're not allowed to be, you got this timber that's sitting there and you got to fall trees from fire or storms and all kinds of stuff. And then there's a fire. Who's going to be there to call?
I'll give you an instance here. 2 years ago, we were up logging up on give out grade where we're now right now. We were in, had to go in all the way down Salmonberry. Anyway, the shovel operator went a different way and up on Rock Pit 5. Well, some dipshit decided to be up there in fire season shooting root wads and started a root wad on fire. He seen the glow and then messaged me. He said, dude, I got a fire up here. Can you come back? Well, he got it out, and then he notified ODF after he got it out that we need to get assets up here to make sure it's out. I got to go load trucks. But, how do you get fire out? Well, you got a piss can that's in every crummy. If anybody doesn't know what a piss can is, it's 5 gallons of water, and you have a pump with a nozzle on the end to spray down the fire, and then you use the materials next to it with shovels to, get it on top of it to help put the fire out. But ODF didn't show up till 9 o'clock next morning.
Wow. Yeah.
So that was at 3 o'clock in the morning when he noticed it. I'll give you an instance. 6 years ago, I went up to dump some bark from splitting and stacking firewood. on a burn pile up on Weyerhaeuser. Yep, I did it. It's on Weyerhaeuser. I had 3 32-gallon or, you know, garbage cans, and we just backed up to a brush pile and dumped them on there. And I go, it's what? It's July 29th. Why is there a fire going on the brush pile? So, I mean, the east winds just picked up. I ran down to Palm Hill, ODF headquarters here in Clatskanie, and I said, you guys didn't light no brush piles on fires. No, it's fire season. Well, you got a fire. By the time you're talking 20 minutes from the time I left, went down to ODF, got their assets and went up, and it was already 6 acres that fast.
So Jen, you guys have talked, county commissioners have come out against this in these counties, from every place from, I'm thinking, Lane County all the way up to Clackamas and Clatsop, and especially Clatsop and some of those counties, right?
Yeah, we got proclamations signed all the way up and down, you know, west of the Cascades, basically. I think we got Washington, Clatsop, Tillamook, Curry Coos, Douglas. I know I'm missing some. Lane.
Columbia.
So we got proclamations opposing the HCP signed. That's hundreds of thousands of people those represent. We also put out a petition that thousands of people signed, which we gave to ODF in bound books so that they could record that into public testimony. So there's hundreds of thousands of people that do not want this to happen that live west. So it's in their neighborhood.
Right.
They want this to happen, and ODF doesn't care. Board of Forestry doesn't seem to care. The governor sure the hell doesn't care. Cal Mukamoto could give a crap. So
what? It's almost like this horror, this really arrogant attitude that it doesn't matter. We know better than you. Shut up. We'll take care of this. You guys don't know what you're doing. And then they get this segment of the population who's, you know, virtue signals about, oh, the trees and there you go. And it's like, well, then, so all the people that have common sense are being shut up and shut out of the conversation. When, why don't we vote on it? How about if they had an HCP and the state of Oregon got to vote on that? That's, you know, actually, instead of some political hack group established by a governor who's practically destroyed the state of Oregon. Yeah. And now another one who they have their bent, but it's not, they don't represent, you know, and that's the problem. These people don't represent most Oregonians.
Right.
You know, the problem with that, Rick, is it'd be the I-5 corridor would vote on it and approve it.
Oh, yes. Multnomah, Washington. Well, Washington might be in on this one here.
Well, they're going to lose. They're going to lose. How much money is Washington County going to lose, Jen?
I think 9 million.
Yeah, 9 million.
So no wonder they signed the proclamation. That's very unlike them to come out against something like this. You know what I mean? Where they should be looking at that going, you know, even Washington County, you know.
Yeah, one of the main three.
Yeah, this is going to take us, just for reference here, this is going to take us down almost 100 million board feet a year. So 100 million board feet of timber equals between 16,000 and 17,000 average size homes.
Do you find it ironic or hypocritical or both, or just plain ignorant? And in this case, I think it's not ignorance. It's more maybe on the public's part, but on the lawmakers' part, it's just plain old stupidity that we're in a housing crisis. Oregon is in a place where all the politicians comes out of their asses. Oh, we got to have more affordable housing. Can you explain to me how cutting back 100,000 acres of harvest in our state is going to make housing more affordable? So I call bullshit on your housing thing. That's just mouth. You're just lip service. You don't care about housing because you're making it more expensive. And when you talk about these 30-year-old people who can't afford to buy a house and how sad we're going to come up with plans, you absolutely have no credibility, because you're making the cost go up. And I'll even go as far as your climate change stand is horseshit, because you don't care about climate change, or you wouldn't be having us go to New Zealand and Canada and shipping costs and and the cost of trucking that stuff even farther. You'd be saying, you know, we do this in the horticulture world, like in the food, you know, those, the movement now, only your food only comes from 100 miles away. Why doesn't that happen when it comes to building homes and timber and that kind of stuff? It's because it's hypocrisy at its ugliest. And it doesn't, this isn't about saving the environment. It's not about saving trees. It's not even about saving the freaking owl. It's about virtue signaling, standing up and saying, here's what we believe. And everybody else has to do, you know, do what I say or to hell with you.
Yeah.
And the fact that a board of people who are inexperienced and don't know anything about timber probably are, you know, set by the governor and they're going to make the decision for all of us. Why don't we have elected officials? Why doesn't this go through the legislature the way the state was set up and the Constitution says? You go through the fucking legislature and you let us have a say on this thing, yeah. Not some horseshit board that a governor sets up. That's just unbelievable to me that this is going on, because it should be a vote of the people. This yeah. should not be put out by a set up board yes. by a governor who's gone.
Yes. Yes. No, absolutely. 100%. That's something that I'm going to work on after this is over. So it's just to get the information out there. There's going to be 20 plus log trucks fully loaded with ODF timber. And that's significant because there's not going to be any more ODF timber to be hauled once this HCP goes through. So this is our final stand. We are going to be gathering at ODF headquarters. The meeting starts at 9 this morning, and we are going to be asking them to stop the HCP.
So this is at the Board of Forestry office, not the state capitol.
Right. This is at the it's at the Oregon Department of Forestry office at 2600 State Street.
Right. Oh, isn't that right across from the penitentiary?
Yeah.
Pretty close.
Maybe what Pretty we close. Could do is when it's over, we could just walk them all over. What they're doing to Oregon's a crime. We could just walk that whole board right across the street and say, here's where you belong. I'm sure I know people on that board and they're not going to like me after this. And it's not them personally, but you know what? That is not the way, or that's not Oregon. We no. decide on our own what we do. We don't have boards of forestry that are ignorant to what is going on, obviously, in these communities. This should be Lyons. Every person in Lyons should get to vote on this. That's an eligible voter.
I totally agree with you.
And every person yeah. in St. Am and Silverton and places like Rome, Oregon, and Jordan Valley and French Glen and every place around there, those are that's Oregonians. We should be having the say. Haines, Oregon. Yes. I mean, come on. Wallowa County. You know, yes. where are we in this whole conversation?
Yes.
And no. Klamath Falls, did they get a say? No. Some appointed board is deciding the fate of our state, and that is not Oregon, and that's not the way that's set up.
That's right. You're right.
Wow. And you know what bugs the hell out of me, Jen, is because I know you've moved and I've moved, and these people that go, oh good, you know, everybody's going to move because, you know, there's lots of people just going, I can't do that. I can't put up with this anymore. They're all going to move, and fine, you don't belong here. No, guess what? We do belong there.
Yep.
Jen's family had a mill there. They started a mill, and they're deeply ingrained in that community. Their families put billions of dollars into social services and programs and stuff like that. I was born there. My family was. We have a third generation, fourth or fifth generation farm in Haines, Oregon, a ranch. I mean, that's where my roots are. And for you people to come in and think that you get, you know, it's no. Well, this is what we want. Well, you didn't ask us. Yeah. So I'm not an Oregonian that believes in only native Oregonians. I believe if people choose to come to Oregon and you choose that as your home, you're a native, you're an Oregonian. That's what you are. But don't come here and then not ask us our opinion on what goes on, and you ignore the loggers and you ignore the people. You know, why do you have college educated people determining that have never been in the woods before, determining what goes on in the woods when you've got people with 40 years of experience? Any other industry that had someone with 40 years of experience, that person would be the person you went to for the information, not some college graduate who has a degree on the wall that says, I understand forestry. Because right. guess what? A lot of the loggers working out there, they also have logging degrees. They have degrees mm-hmm. from forestry. The dancer logging, no relation. They have college degrees. They've been to college. They understand, and they chose to go back to the woods because this is where they want to work.
That's right.
So give them some credibility.
Yep, that's right.
unbelievable. So what do people do at this point, Jen? I mean, and Jeff, I mean, what if this is going to be signed, if we get a new, if we have, we're not even there, I'm not even there, but I love Oregon, you know, despite what people say, screw them. When you get a new government, can this be changed? Can this be reverted? Can you fire this thing? I mean, can somebody come in that has some kind of, you know, can somebody write a bill in the legislature to get rid of this and have a vote and ask people what they want? I mean, what is the next step? This can't be it.
Yeah, there. I mean, it could be repealed. Tina Kotek could have stopped it or paused it and done it right.
Can a new governor, if there's a new governor elected that has a more diverse, yeah, here, let me pick all the right words. What if we had a governor in Oregon who really was diverse, who thought about diversity of thought in addition to diversity of race and sexuality and all the other things that are important as well, but diversity of thought, diversity of job, you know, or are we just all stupid little peons that don't matter?
Right.
You know, could a new governor come in and restart the purpose, the process?
Yeah, they could come in because the Board of Forestry, all boards in the state of Oregon work at the pleasure of the governor. So the governor appoints over 250 boards and commissions in Oregon. I know, but so that board works at the pleasure of the governor. So if the governor, a new governor comes in there and says, hey, you know what? We got to rethink this. Let's go ahead and push pause on this. That could happen.
God. Okay, I'll run for governor. And then you know what I do? And to get rid of the whole Board of Forestry. And I'm going to just say, you know what? Here, let's write up a proposal. We're going to put it on the ballot. And we're going to let the shit fall where it falls. And then we could dream a little here. So then let's make up a board that has some environmental people on there and then has some loggers and some people that are fallers and maybe some engineer wood engineering companies, you know, that kind of stuff. And then, some like trucking companies and stuff like that. And then you have the firefighting companies and you put everybody together and you come up with a plan that really works and fits for Oregon and takes into consideration everybody's concerns. And then when you get the final thing out, Jeff, everybody's not necessarily happy, but they're satisfied because we have a plan that I'm not 100%.
That probably would have happened. That would have happened.
Oh, you're freezing up. Damn it.
That would have happened with Drazen or Johnson would have got elected. Hate to say it. They would have got these boards.
Well, and the thing is that if those people were elected to the board or appointed to the Board of Forestry, we would have, more healthy, resilient forests for generations, for into perpetuity, because the people that are out there working in these forests are the stewards of those forests. You know, it's funny because Bob Zybak, he has a PhD. His name is Dr. Bob Zybak. He has a PhD in forestry, and for 40 years, he's been working in hands-on in the woods. And he said, in my 40 years of working in the woods, I have yet to run into an environmentalist.
Huh.
Yeah. So
the other thing is, like, Jeff, dude, you are the expert. I mean, if we're going to go to the woods, who am I going to go in and ask how to fall a tree or how this growth pattern is working or where you see the owls? You're there. I bet half these scientists have never seen a spotted owl.
I've only seen two in my lifetime out in the woods here.
Well, they're not very bright, because I remember going out with a crew, like when I was a TV dude, and this bird dude, I don't know what he was, but some bird guy, he gave me a rat, a little mouse, and had, because they knew there was owls, they had them tagged in here. I held the mouse up like that, and the owl came down and took it.
And they're pretty much
an animal that's going to last very long if I'm like just some pampered anchor man standing there with a freaking mouse in my hand and an owl. I mean, you know, it's called survival of the fittest. You don't trust the guy with white hair holding up the mouse. You know, I mean, I walked away from that going, that's unbelievable, because that is dumb, dumb owl. My dog wouldn't even take that from a stranger, you know? Yeah. So we need to be looking at people for their expertise based on not our prejudice or our ideas about what they do, but what it is that they do and how what they do in that, you know, that their profession.
Yeah.
So, okay, so here's the plan. So right now, as we're releasing this video, 9 o'clock on Thursday morning, the 7th, the ODFNW office in across from the state penitentiary.
Yep.
Well, criminals on one side are fenced in. Some people on the other side who are doing something criminal to Oregon are also fenced in with actually a wood and steel fence, native log trucks. And there will be no violence. This is not a violent, the loggers are not violent people, but they are using their voice and their right. So if some of you who protested a few years ago in our communities and destroyed all kinds of stuff, if you want to learn how to do a clean protest, you could go down there and watch and see how classy people do it. You know, how classy,
absolutely,
about their communities, how they do a protest. It's a great lesson, and it's an age old thing in Oregon, because in Oregon we don't do that other stuff. We respect people's voices. So then the next thing we do is you folks need to understand how you vote in 2024 matters. Who you put in office matters, because this is why this stuff happens, is because you don't have somebody like a Betsy Johnson who's in there, who's going to listen to everybody and make decisions based on what's best for Oregon. And here's the thing, people can do that. I mean, you know what I mean? This is totally doable. They can restore Oregon to what it was, which is a place where weird people come and dysfunctional people come. I mean, you know what I always think is funny, you guys? I mean, like, our relatives who came here were probably like the people that left Missouri or Oklahoma, and people were going, oh, thank God they're leaving. You know, they had all these weird ideas. They were going to start a new timber company. They're going to do this. They're going to, you know, start a farm. They're dreamers. These are like pioneers going out. I know pioneer is like a bad word now to some people, but they're going to go out and create this new empire. Oh, there's another bad word. And dream and do things. But that's what created Oregon. That's what made it Oregon. And we've had all these people come in with wishy-washy ideas, and they've changed that because they lost the heart of who we are.
Yes.
You know, and they forgot about the Jeffs and the guy who's committed to his family, committed to his woods, and his, you know, goes out there and does things that other people would never do to protect the place that he loves.
That's right.
They don't think about that, you know. And so we as people need to make sure that our elected leaders are people who remember what a real Oregonian is.
That's right. Hoo-yah.
What do you think, Jeff? You get the parting shot for the three of us. What do you say?
Anybody want to come out in the woods and watch what we do? I can arrange tours and get you guys set up with loader operators and yarder engineers and cutters. And I can even get you down to the mills and watch you unload the load logs and watch them scale them. Anybody want to come, just message
me. You know what, Jeff? I'm doing this little project. Jen's involved too, but it's called The Truth About Timber. We have our newest one from the logging conference that's coming out today. We just posted it actually yesterday. So it's posted Wednesday the 6th. But we've got some other things we're doing with Freris and Starfire out of Cresswell. But you know what I would love to do? Because I want to do this again, another round of this. I want to spend like a whole day with you, like get up with you in the morning. I mean, not with you in the morning, but you're getting out of bed and I'm videotaping you at 2 a.m, getting up, getting in your log truck. And we just hang out for the whole day and I shoot video of you and I get cool comments, and let's just show people what a guy like yourself is. Show them your love for the woods and your love for what you do. And,
I'll have a passenger seat waiting for you, buddy.
Okay. I got people and Jen and I got contacts, and now Jeff, you're on my list. So you're in trouble. Thank you, Jeff, for making time for doing this, especially when you're not feeling great. And good luck out there tomorrow. And Jen, love you. Thank you for doing this. And you know what? I don't know. I just have this feeling that people are going to see stuff like this and start going, you know what? Something's just not, it doesn't add up. You can't have affordable housing and have less timber available.
Yeah.
Kotak just voted for that on Friday. She just approved the board's bill or the legislature's bill. She signed it on Friday.
Yeah. But people have to start. We got to go back to basic math. 1 + 1 is still 2. It needs to add up. And
so,
affordable housing and not enough timber.
That's right.
Real quick before I leave. So if anybody doesn't understand what stumpage is, it's the cost of logging it. So 10 years ago, you were talking $580, $590 stumpage price to log a unit. Now you're at $737. Hell, one sale just went for $745 stumpage price. That's highly expensive.
And that goes directly to the people that are buying at Home Depot or your local hardware lumber yard, all that stuff. I love this guy.
wait till you see your prices. The 2x4s that were as high during the pandemic, you're going to see it close to double.
Yep.
Supply and demand. If supply is not there, demand's up. And guess what?
Yep.
Right. Timber companies got to buy logs, and they're going to get them from where they can, and they're going to have to buy them from New Zealand or Canada or somewhere else. And the price is going to be higher because of shipping, and the cost on the environment is going to be higher because your transportation costs and all that fuel you're using to get those there when you could be picking them up in your own backyard. But no, we have this wonderful standard that we have in Oregon because we really care about the environment. Oh, bullshit.
There is nothing better. There is no better product. There is no better timber in the state of Oregon than ODF timber. There is no better quality, period. Hands down, plain and simple.
And let me ask one question. So ODFNW is Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. So that is state timber. So wait a second.
I don't know.
We're on ODF. ODF, Oregon Department of Forestry.
So doesn't, but my point is, Jen, doesn't that belong to them? Like to Oregon? To Jeff, to Oregon,
to the public.
Yes. It's the public's timber.
Yes.
And you've got a board of forestry telling people this is your asset. It's your resource.
Yes.
And you're going to be paying more for it because a bunch of appointed buffoons is deciding the fate of what you own. This would be like somebody coming in, like the governor setting up a stand. Okay, Rick, here's your bank account. These people are going to tell you how you can spend it. Oh, no, you become unglued. It's the same thing.
Yes, yes. So our public lands, our state lands, are a $6 billion asset that will be turned into a liability because they're not going to be producing any revenue to fight the fires that are going to be on them, and because they're going to be worthless to anybody.
All right, you guys, I'm getting close to an hour, and if I go over an hour, then I have to cut it, and I can't because I want to just get this thing out there. But we have talked like a long time. This is good.
Jeff has one last thing to tell you.
All right, Jeff, tell me.
Don't mess with loggers.
Dude, I've been up there. I would not mess with a logger.
They're going to get that message loud and clear this morning.
I'm telling you, I was with Pete Dancer. That guy's like in his 70s. He could kick my ass. I worked out, but not. I mean, this guy he'd know how to take me, and he's a super nice guy. He would never do that. Well, he might, I guess. but I mean, you know, these are like big. Yeah, these are big dudes. But you know what? I think the other thing is, these are smart business people.
They are.
So people don't give you guys credit for it. These are smart, common sense. There's no such thing because it's not common, but they have sense. They have a sense of what works, a sense of what people are, a sense of that, but it's not common. It's very uncommon in Oregon today.
Yeah.
All right. You guys, it's been good. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Rick. Right,
see you guys later. All right, guys. So one parting shot. So this is happening today. You can't really show up. I guess you could, but unless you saw this later. But here's the point. Put the pressure on. It's your asset. It's your resource. You own this. And somebody else is deciding what's going to happen to it. And that is un-Oregonian. That is just not how Oregon works. That's not what people that came out here thought was going to happen. That's not even American. And I don't care if you think I'm, you know, call me a MAGA, call me a Republic, call me all your little names you want to call me. I don't care. because when you have to start resorting to calling people names, then it's just like ridiculous. So anyway, that's what's going on. I love doing this for you. Yeah, I moved to Montana and got the hell out of there. Cause you know what? I'm 64 and I gotta go to a place where I can remember what it was like to be an Oregonian. But for those of you who hate me, I'm still fighting for Oregon, despite what you think and despite what you say. But I'm doing it from afar. And that is for my own personal mental health. All right. Good night. We'll see you later.